Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Hey, dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market?
Well, sort of. Visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Since I began broadcasting the show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
This is Arnold Palmer
and Paul Sarvati, CEO of Administaff,
with a timely message for small business owners fighting to stay on course in tough times.
Strategy number 3 of our top 9 HR strategies to beat the odds in 09 is reduce operating expenses. The truth is, economic downturns require tough decisions for business owners that must lower cost. That's when Administaff's buying power and HR support can help the most. We know what works when it comes to compensation, organization, and benefit plan changes that can reduce expenses without deflating your people. Whether you need to lower base pay and add an incentive plan or introduce a lower-cost, high-deductible health plan, Administaff has the answer. To get a free printout of these practical, proven HR strategies, visit Administaff.com and click Top 9.
In times like these, you can let things happen to you, or you can make things happen for you. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800.
You've reached Pierce Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's B-P-L-A-N-S.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. It's just you and me. I got some thoughts that I want to share with you. And these thoughts are all about capitalism. I am a capitalist pig. You can call it what, you know, you can have some fun with that if you want to.
but I believe in capitalism. I believe what Ayn Rand said, capitalism is the most logical path for any rational being. I'm paraphrasing her just a little bit. I don't exactly remember the exact quotes, but her point was capitalism is what makes sense to any rational being. And it's better than all the other isms that are out there. It's not perfect, but it's not perfect. It isn't perfect. It's got warts. It's got problems. It's got demons. It's got holes in it through which bad things can happen. It's not perfect. It is an imperfect ism, but it is the best ism. It's the one we have. It's the one that we built the America that we have on. It's the one that other countries are adopting more than any other form of economic system. More companies are adopting it than anything. It is the economic system that undergirds liberty, that undergirds democracy. It is the system that allows people to seek their own fortunes, to own their own property, to pass the property on to their own children. It's the system that most likely to keep politicians from having too much control. Ladies and gentlemen, the worst thing that anybody ever designed is the political system. Politics are a necessary evil, but the whole system of politics, especially the way it's gotten in the United States, has gotten out of hand. And the only thing that can fight the political class is capitalism. Communism, socialism, what other? You know, name something else. Those things don't fight the political class. They don't hold back the political class, who in some ways are our enemies. And that's been going on for a long time since there were kings. It's one of the things that our forefathers, the founders of our country, were resisting when they created the revolution. They were resisting the politicians. Yeah, they were noblemen. They were kings who were in charge, but basically a king is nothing more than an exalted politician. And the only thing that can really fight that off, that can really fight off the ill effects of politicians and the whole political system is capitalism. And inside of it we find liberty, we find freedom, we find ownership, we find self-determination for the individual. And so I'm really concerned about the assault that's being made on capitalism right now. You got people like Chavez, you got people like Ahmadinejad, you got people like Putin, you got folks like Kim Jong-il in North Korea. These people are all, pointing their finger at America, and they're laughing, they're taunting at us, because they're all saying capitalism doesn't work. It's failed. Well, you know what? It hasn't failed. We haven't had a breakdown in capitalism. A lot of the reason why our capitalist economy right now is on its heels is because of the influences of our government and some of the bad policies that they've made over the past several years. And I'm talking about decades, and I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats. This is not a partisan point that I'm making. Notice I didn't say anything about one party or the other. I'm talking about the political class. And if you think we don't have a political class in America, and if you think we're not making new ones every day, then you're naive. You're not paying attention. We have a political class in America, and we've got you and I. They're supposed to work for you and me, but less and less they do. And so we have to take this back. And one of the ways we have to do this is we have to defend capitalism, ladies and gentlemen. And there are some assaults. There's some policies going on right now that are assaulting capitalism. And I want to talk about this when we come back after these messages. And you and I have all got to, regardless of whether Republicans or Democrats, we've got to make sure that these assaults don't pass. 20 till, stay with us.
There's...
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. Don't forget to check out my blog and check out my knowledge base, AskJim.biz. Both of those you can launch right off the homepage. My newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. You can find that right off the homepage, see a sample, and see if you like it. And if you don't like it, after you subscribe, you can unsubscribe. And you can do that all by yourself. So check that out. Check out all the other things, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members. Lots of stuff there. You got 5 minutes, you got 1 minute, you got 15 minutes. We got something that'll help you. And also, don't forget, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/JimBlassingame. Okay, I'm talking about capitalism, folks. I'm talking about the assault on capitalism. And I know, to a large degree, I'm preaching to the choir here. Because you're a small business owner, or you want to be, and you really can't really be true to your business without being a believer in capitalism. But I want you to you need to understand. We all need to understand that as we speak, this meltdown in our economy last fall, and the residual of all that right now that we're having to pay for, all of that is an assault. It's a weakening of the foundation of capitalism, because what happened is it created the opportunity for the government, for the political class, these people who cannot even run their own government, let alone run a company, they're now doing that. Think about this, folks. Look at what our government, the influence our government now has over our banking system. Look at the influence the government now has over our automobile industry, the U.S. industry, the big three. Look at that influence. Look at what they're doing. Watch what's happening as they just do time after time. They're doing things to these industries that are ineffective. They don't know what they're doing, and yet, little by little, they're encroaching on other parts of our economy. Like, for example, the healthcare issue that we've just been talking about in the previous hour. They want to have more control. The government wants to have more control over our healthcare system. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the most effective, the most high-functioning, the most productive, the most innovative healthcare system on the planet. People are flying from all over the world, if they can afford it, to come to America to get treatment. And yet, we've got people who want to make us look like France or Germany. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not a good plan. But what that is that's taking over, that's the possibility, and the proposal is to ultimately take over 17%, one-sixth of our U.S. economy is healthcare. And they want to take all that over and run it like they run Medicaid, Medicare, the Veterans Association, the post office, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Think about that, folks. These are the same people who want to control your healthcare system. Does that sound like a good idea? I don't think so. And even though they're starting out saying, oh, you can choose. You can take the U.S. The government healthcare, or you can take your private plan. Well, guess what? It'll start out like that, but that's not where it's going to end up. And so this is another assault on capitalism. Because we have a lot of companies, and they're not perfect companies. There's some of them I've got problems with myself, but they're still companies who are participating in the capitalist economy that we have right now, and the free market economy that we have right now. They're free market operators in this economy, in our capitalist system, and we don't need to let them. We don't need them to fail. We don't need them to go away because the government is competing with them. All right. Here's another thing. The unions, the so-called Employee Free Choice Act that's being proposed and pushed, trying to push it through. It probably won't pass this year, but it might pass next year. But that, why would we want more of what GM and Chrysler and Ford have? One of the reasons, not all the reasons, but a large part of the reason why the big three are have unsustainable business models right now is because of the overreaching of the unions and the conciliation that the companies made to the unions. That's a big part of their problems right now. Why would we want more of that? Why would we want to impose that kind of inefficiency, that kind of, frankly, at the leadership level, corruption? Why would we want to add more of that to small businesses? Why would we want to have that encroach more? The reason why unions have only about 8%, 7-8% of the U.S. population in their ranks, when 30 years ago they had 30%, the reason why is because the economy, the marketplace has changed. Employers have changed. The unions can no longer sell their product in the marketplace. It doesn't sell. It's not a sustainable business model. And the only way that they can increase their numbers is to get the government to run interference for them. With this Employee Free Choice Act, the so-called Employee Free Choice Act, which is not free choice at all. This is another assault on capitalism, ladies and gentlemen, and we have to stop this. We have to let our members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, we have to let them know that these things are, that we don't want these things, that we want the government out of our healthcare system. We don't want the government telling you and me who we have to hire. And oh, by the way, if you think the government's not involved in the unions aren't a big part of what's going on right now. In the new Chrysler restructuring, guess who's going to own 55% of Chrysler? The UAW. Now that's going to be an interesting little experiment to watch, right? UAW with control of a complete car company. That'll be interesting to watch how long that lasts. Tintil, I'll be right back. More to come. That's all we want, isn't it, small business owners? All we want is a little R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Isn't it? That's all we want. Yeah, Aretha's telling them about it. She's testifying for us, isn't she, small business owners? That's all we want is just a little bit of respect. And I think we're going to get it because, you know what, in the future, in the every day that goes by, in the every year that's coming up, small business owners are going to become more critical, and it's going to be more evident that's more critical, that we're more critical to the economy than ever before. And the reason I'm seeing this is because I'm talking to big companies. I'm working with big companies, and they're asking about you guys. And here's one of the things I'm telling them. If you've heard me say this on the show before, I said it yesterday. If you're a big business and you don't have a small business strategy, you're not going to be successful in the 21st century. If you don't have a strategy that serves and that supports small businesses, and I'm telling banks this, and I'm telling, that's one of the reasons why the big banks are failing right now, is because they're not working with small businesses anymore. And they're scared of their own shadow, they're scared of the government, and they're scared of this relationship that they've made with the devil. And so anyway, folks, you're the big deal of the future, small business owners. But you and I have to realize that. We have to get a little bit organized. We have to learn a little bit from the unions and become a little more organized. We're a little bit too much like a herd of cats. But back to my thoughts on the assault on capitalism. Before I leave the union issue, I mentioned the new deal with Chrysler. The government's going to own part of the company. I've forgotten who else is going to own. Fiat's going to own part of the company, but the UAW, the United Auto Workers Union, is going to own 55%. That's right, a controlling interest in Chrysler in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to say one last thing on that. That little situation right there is going to be entertainment. You could make a TV sitcom out of it. When the unions have 55% and therefore run that company, It'll be entertainment. I promise you, over the next 3 to 5 years, if they last that long, and if they actually do sustain, to get some sustaining going, it'll be fun to watch the, how the unions. I'm not going to say any more. It'll just happen. I'll remind you. We'll cover it. I promise you. The last thoughts on the assault on capitalism is cap and trade, is the commoditization of carbon, the regulation of one half of the photosynthesis process. Think about that, folks. One half of the photosynthesis process is carbon dioxide, and we've got a real chance in the next, if not this year, next year, of the government regulating our carbon emissions and declaring carbon dioxide to be a dangerous gas. One half of the photosynthesis process, it would be a dangerous gas if Carol Branner, the energy czar for the new administration, if she gets her way, she tried to get this done in the Clinton administration. If she has her way, it'll be declared a dangerous gas. Well, what we've got going on right now, folks, is an assault on capitalism with regard to the regulation and the taxation and the commoditization of carbon, of the carbon that you expel from your vehicles, from your businesses, from your homes. How about out of your mouth? The breath that you breathe. All this is going to become a commodity. And guess who controls, guess who owns now? Think about that. The government would then own the breath that comes out of your air, because if they create a commodity, if they commoditize, if they regulate it, and they tax it, they tax carbon, basically the government has just confiscated the air that you breathe, half the air that you breathe, the carbon dioxide that you breathe. And they've created it, turned it into a commodity, and they're going to tell you how much you can pay for that, how much it's worth. And if you use more than they say, then they're going to make you pay more. And that's going to hurt our economy. And I'm saying, and by the way, if you want to find this, I blogged about it. My column in my newsletter this week was about it. You can read more about it. So here's my question. What if they're wrong? What if they take the U.S. economy's carbon footprint back to the pre-1990 levels that they're saying? What if they take it back to that level and it doesn't help the government, the planet? It still doesn't impact climate change because China didn't change anything. What if they do that and it wrecks our economy? That's my question. That's what I want the climate change zealots to answer. What if you're wrong? So far, I've had a lot of people say they disagree with me. Nobody will answer that question. What if the climate change zealots are wrong, ladies and gentlemen? We've got to get them to answer that question. That's another assault on capitalism. And as long as I draw breath, I'm going to be fighting that assault. I'll be back, but it'll be tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.